Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
O'Donnell inside his 15-yard line and a very dangerous...
Punt is blocked. Rolling around inside the 5-yard line into the end zone. There's a scramble for it, and it goes out of the back of the end zone.
Wow. The punt block came from JT Gray. And the Saints special teams unit regarded very highly by Chris Tabor, the Bears special teams coordinator, comes up with the first big play of the game. And it's a safety for two. Trubisky with time. Gunning the near sideline out of the reach of Gabriel, running near side to the 45 in front of the Bears bench. And so the Bears strike out again.
Well, Matt Nagy just came up to Mitchell Trubisky after that drive stalled and just gave him the calm down gesture. Did it two times and just kind of gave him a wink and a hug and walked away.
Again is the receiver right, Lil Jordan Humphrey in the right slot. Snap back, Bridgewater. Here comes pressure. The throw, right side, caught. Easy. Right side for the touchdown. Walking in was Josh Hill, and the Saints extend the lead to 8-0 on a 7-yard Bridgewater touchdown throw. Here's the kickoff. Cordarrelle Patterson settling in the end zone, about a yard deep. Angles left, gets to the 10, opening at the 20, hits the gas at the 25, breaks a tackle, he's in the clear, running right to the 40, big chase from behind, steps out of a tackle, 20, 10, 5, touchdown! Touchdown Bears! 101 yards.
Trubisky on 3rd and 5 from his 22. Awaits the snap. Still chewing clock by doing so. Takes it. Looking. Has to back up. Rolls to his right. No. Now he throws incomplete. Way out of the reach of Cohen and a hold on top of it. None of that looked good.
So openly disappointed with his offense. He simply said the lack of offensive productivity is ridiculous.
Taysom Hill in motion right to a bunch set. He'll get the throw on a one-step barrel. Here he goes, right up the gut, into the end zone with a touchdown. One-step throw right up the numbers and gash the Bears for the touchdown of 6 yards and a 4 yards and a 25-10 lead for the New Orleans Saints here at Soldier Field. All right, well, that'll end it. Teams to midfield to shake hands and say their pleasantries and hope that they meet again in the playoffs, but that's a long way from now. But the Bears go to 3-3 for the second year in a row, and for the, sixth time in a row, they've lost out of the bye week. So that's the longest streak of the National Football League. Sean Payton leads his team to a 6-1 record, 36-25, the final score here at Soldier Field.
Welcome to the Chicago Bears postgame show on 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. Here's your hosts, Hub Arkish and James Big Cat Williams.
All right, everybody. Dial them up. 312-644-6767. I have a hunch, Cat. I know what we're in for this evening. The Bears deserve it, so I guess we do, too. That was awful. That was ugly.
I don't know how we deserve it, man.
Well, because this is our job. We deserve to be here to try and calm folks down and make them feel better about it. Unfortunately, though, if you're going to call here to find out why this can get better this season, I don't know about you, Cat. I got no answers for him.
Yeah.
This was after a horrible step back 2 weeks ago in London. This was worse as far as I'm concerned, and I think you and I share a belief in what a lot of the reasons for that are.
Yeah, you took another two steps back today as far as the Bears go. I sat around and I wondered all week. You sit around and you listen to Nagy and the rest of the coaches talk about, self-scouting. And, that's something that we talk about here, too, about them being able to self-scout during the bye week. But even if you do self-scout with the time that you put in during the bye week, you don't have enough time to implement any of the changes that you might have found out that you needed to make. So, I mean, you have 4 days of practice. You come back, you come in on Monday, you work out, you're off Tuesday, you're in there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday's a light day, and Saturday's a walkthrough. So when do you have time to change things? When do you have time? I mean, I understand that, you're going to have new players in there because Long's out and because Hicks is out, but, especially offensively, you have no time to work on it if you're gone that much.
The one downside with radio, folks, is you heard it, but I wish you could have seen the look on Kat's face when I said, we have to take it. Because, on one hand, I tend to agree with you. This is not what I was planning on or looking forward to tonight, but, hey, this is where we're at, and it is great to be with Bears fans. It is also great to be out and about tonight. We've been in the studio all season long, but tonight we are at Connie's Pizza, 2273 South Archer, right off of Clyburn. Great, yeah, come on, let's hear it for Connie's, guys. They did everything right today. They're not the Chicago Bears. The food is great. The beer is cold. 50-cent wings, specials on craft beers. Come on out, guys. We're going to go for the next hour and 45 or 2 hours or so. I'm going to take your calls at 312-644-6767. We're going to talk about this. We're going to figure it out. One thing we can remember is that they are now 3-3. They were 3-3 last year. Now, this is a different 3-3. I am not trying to make chicken salad out of that mess out at Soldier Field today. But at the end of the day, that is the reality. The season is over. I don't know where this team is going, Kat. Right now, it looks to me like they're headed south, not north. But there is plenty of time. Anxious to hear what the fans think. We'll talk it through. We'll see what we can come up with.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the fans' perspective right now. Mm. I mean, I just don't I don't know what to make of them coming out and having a performance like this. We're not only talking about the offense looking bad, but no aspects of this game worked in the Bears' favor. Yeah. They look horrible on offense. The defense just, drive after drive. And special teams-wise, yes, you have the Patterson touchdown, which was, a nice 102-yard run. But, that was maybe one of two that he brought out of the end zone. If you can't put points up offensively, you've got to try and make something happen defensively and special teams. He has to start bringing those out. I don't care if it's 4, 5, 6 yards deep. You've got to bring those out right now.
I am going to make the argument that I can see where the defense can be fixed and get back. They were put in one awful position after another in the first half, and yet somehow still got to 12-10 coming out of the half. The six-play drive they gave up to open up the second half was, pretty much the end of the game, and that's on them. Can't put anybody else. But again, first game without Akeem Hicks, they were not – I felt like they got sucked down by the offense. By the end of the third quarter, they had been doubled up in time of possession, and at some point, it's kind of hard to make something happen.
If we are going to talk about how well they played against Minnesota when Hicks was not in there, I can't give him a pass for the last two games.
Oh, let me be clear. I'm not giving him a pass. What I said was I can make an argument for how I can see that getting better. But no, there's no pass on it. There's no question about that. This was an awful team performance. And I got to tell you, guys, we got to take a quick break here. My first arrow goes at Matt Nagy. I mean, this is coaching at this point. What happened today starts with the head coach, and then it goes downhill from there. We're going to break it all down, 312-644-6767. Back in just a moment here at Connie's and on the radio dial at 670 The Score.
Bears lose. Keep it here for a full recap of the loss to the Saints. Plus, we'll take a look at their next game versus the Chargers. Live from the Hyundai Score Studios, we're talking Bears here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's home for Bears fans. A radio.com sports station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago.
The Score! Top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. fan four packs are a fantastic way to enjoy Chicago Wolves hockey. Four tickets, four hot dogs, four sodas, one large popcorn, and one low price. To get yours, visit ChicagoWolves.com. We are winners. We are the Wolves.
Let me see if I can get Cordero.
Go ahead.
Hey, Cordero, can I get a couple minutes with you here, man?
Man, I need you talking today, man. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Welcome to the Chicago Bears postgame show on 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. Here's your hosts, Hub Arkish and James Big Cat Williams.
Kind of wish I was Cordero. I do wish I was Cordero. Did you see that kickoff return?
Right.
They actually had a clock on him on the TV broadcast. He got over 20 miles per hour on that return, the third time in his career. I believe he's the only guy who's ever done that on the field. And so, you know, it was a bright spot. At the end of the day, though, very little else to get excited about, James. But I'll pick up right where I started right before we had to get that quick idea. And, I'm still a Matt Nagy fan. That doesn't go away with two bad games. But now you look at the totality of this mess at 3-3, and to me, the great bulk of it is on this coaching staff. I go all the way back to, I was outraged last training camp when they took the exhibition season off. It showed in the opener that they blew at Green Bay. They eventually sorted it out. They came on. They go out and do the same thing this year and are clearly not prepared when they open up at home for that game. Against the Packers. And then, as you were just saying, I mean, I was stunned when I heard they were taking the entire bye week off. Right. I mean, after that performance, how do you do that? You know,
yeah.
They earned that? You know, I mean, it just didn't make any sense to me. And these are things that Matt Nagy continues to do. But the thing I forgive him for the least today is that he told us for 2 weeks he thought he had the answer to the running game. And he came out today, and in the first half, he called 23 passes and 5 runs and gave the ball once to David Montgomery, who was brought here to be the answer to a guy who was one of the three best running backs in the league for the 3 years he was here, and you couldn't wait to get him out of town.
Right. I think last year we made a lot of excuses for the Bears for why Howard was not being used or why we felt as though he was not being used right or correctly. But now you're starting to find out this year, it's not the point of not being used correctly. They just don't know what to do with a running back. And when you there's no excuse for it. You have to figure it out. You have to figure that run game out. I mean, for Montgomery to only have one carry at halftime, that's just it's ridiculous. I mean, I understand at points in time you get behind the chains and you have to throw the ball, but there were times early when they weren't in those situations where they just seemed like they wanted to get Mitch going. They wanted to throw the short to intermediate passes to get him comfortable in the pocket, and I understood that. But then after a while, you've got to get to that run game. You've got to put some pressure on that Saints defense. Even though you know they're a good defense, you still have to – when does the offensive line have an opportunity to take it at that defense if all they're doing is going backwards the entire time?
James, I guess another thing that we can finally put to rest is Kyle Long is done for the year. It seems likely his career as a Bear is over. I don't feel like they scapegoated him. You know, there's a lot of ways this could have gone. He had a hip injury. They moved him to IR. But it is clear to say that if anybody believes that Kyle was the problem with the running game, that's over. Rashad Coward gets his first start, and he gets about the highest compliment a right guard can get. He was invisible all game
right.
long.
Yeah.
You know, no mistakes, didn't stick out. I did see him push a few people around. He missed a few. You know, I mean, he probably will get a higher grade than Kyle got the last few weeks. But that's not what was wrong with the running game.
Right.
And we kept being led to believe that there were little fixes. There was tinkering to be done. And now you don't have any more self-scouting weeks. You know, you don't have any more time to fix this. And it actually got worse today. It didn't get better.
Yeah, and I agree. They are little fixes. But the problem is these little fixes are happening on every play. It's a tight end here. It's a guard there. It's a tackle here. It's the center on one play. You know, maybe it's the quarterback not checking out of a or checking opposite of a run when he has the opportunity. All these little things add up, and we're getting the one big crap of crap right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only thing that has saved my day is the sausage middleweight here at Connie's is some of the best pizza I've had in a long, long time. So come on out to Connie's, guys. We're going to be here with the postgame show for a while. We're going to get to the phones right now at 312-644-6767. And first up is our buddy Steven, who's down in Dallas and checks in with us pretty much every week after the game. Steven, I'm guessing it wasn't any prettier in Dallas than it was in Chicago.
No, not at all. And I can tell you, Nagy's honeymoon period just ended or actually crashed today. You know, same goes with Trubisky. I think Nagy really has done nothing to help resolve the offensive issues. I know you call me out when I say Nagy was arrogant after the Packers game when I called you on the morning show, but to me, with 2 weeks preparation, and this is the best that Nagy can come up with, is a true indictment on really what Nagy's abilities to coach. And if I'm Case, I'm having a meeting with him tomorrow morning. We discussed to draft Montgomery, and he can't figure out a way to use David Montgomery right from the start to commit to the run for a change. I really feel bad. And, you know, Walter Payton must be rolling in his grave right now just to see this team struggle to run and commit to running the ball for one damn drive.
Steve, let me ask you a question before you get to your question, which I assume we're coming with here. But, I mean, I'm not going to argue with you about everything you just said about Matt Nagy, but if that's the case, if Nagy is not the coach that we thought he was, isn't it possible that he's partly responsible for the lack of development of Trubisky? I mean, Trubisky is still the athlete, still the kid with the arm, still the prospect that they thought he was, that a lot of people thought he was a couple years ago. Yeah, he was awful today, but if, and I think you and I are agreeing here, that this was a horrible coaching performance, does that start to, do we now have to take a step back and say, well, how much could that have to do with the development of Mitch Trubisky? Oh, I guess Steve dropped. Kat, what do you think?
My thing is right now that, yes, we can blame Nagy for part of this. But when you see wide receivers being overthrown, that if they catch the ball, they might score.
Mm-hmm.
When you see drops out there by tight ends and wide receivers, when you see your receivers fumbling the ball, when you see your backs fumbling the ball, these aren't coaching problems. Mm-hmm. These are player problems. Mm-hmm. So is Nagy maybe falling into a situation where his outlook for Mitch is going to hurt him as a coach? You know, are we getting into that area now where, you know, is it not the play calling? Is it just the person that's executing the play calling? But they're all going to get lumped in together until we figure it out.
Well, and let me be clear. I'm not defending Trubisky. I'm the point guard here. I'm the facilitator. I'm just trying to spread the ball around. I will tell you this, though, and you're absolutely right. I mean, the throw that he missed early, you know, changes the game if he gets it out in front of Anthony Miller. But it is absolutely the play calling. And I've tried to stay away from that until now, but knowing that you came back tonight having to get the running game going and to not even try in the first half, and it was never more than a two-point game. I mean, that to me is unforgivable. That one I cannot give him a pass on. So at the end of the day, there's going to be plenty of blame to go around. I don't know if blame helps, but we're trying to figure this out. So let's see. Nick is in Saugeenash. Nick is up next. How you doing, Nick?
Doing well. How are you guys? Kind of following the theme that I've been picking up so far with some of Nagy's play calls. When you have, you know, first and 10, you know, long distance, why do you think is he going with Cohen to run between the tackles when we moved up for this guy? You know, he was really hyped out of Iowa State to be a bruiser. You know, he's coming in to replace Jordan Howard. What do you think? I mean, it's easy to criticize the guy, but what do you think is his rationale for actually going through with that?
Well, Nick, I can't give you a complete answer, but I will tell you this. I did notice tonight for the first time there were two big misses in pass protection when Montgomery was on the field, and that is one of the big concern with young running backs, and that's one of the reasons they struggle to stay on the field. If you can't trust them to protect the quarterback, you're going to be reluctant to have them out there. But still, if you know you're running the ball and you haven't run it enough for that to be a tip-off to the other team that if Montgomery's out there, but that could be at least part of the answer, Kevin.
Yeah, and you're probably talking about the sack where Montgomery hit the blitzing linebacker and just wasn't able to get him to the ground. He wasn't able to stick to him. You know, those are the concerns with having a young back, a back that's, you know, fresh out of college. And in college, you know, you're not getting the best player blitzing every time. In the NFL, every guy that comes is good at it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There are some that are better, but everybody's good at it. So it's I mean, there are a lot of questions. I'd like to know why Montgomery's not in there. I mean, yeah, it could be the blocking, but like you said, when you know you're running the ball, put the kid in there. You have enough other tells that, you know, as far as formations and things like that, I don't really think it's something that you have to worry about.
Yeah, I one guess I would make, and I doubt even if I'm right that Matt would acknowledge it or admit to it, he opens the game with Cone as his running back and keeps him out there the first possession and a half, I think, and gives him the ball a couple times. I think he's hoping against hope for a big chunk, for the play he's been looking for all along. Yeah. And you know that if Tariq Cone gets a crease, you know, he's a guy who can give it to you. I'm just guessing at that, and that's all well and good, but that still doesn't establish the running game.
Right.
You know, Tariq Cone isn't going to be the guy to do that. And I think that's what frustrates all of us so much. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Looks like we've got one line open there if you want to grab it. Otherwise, as you hear somebody drop off, then dial us up and you'll be up next. Right now, we're going to go to, forgive me because the screen's a little far away. I'm sure it's Colin or Colleen in Geneva. I think it's Colin. Colin?
Geneva.
Yeah, how you doing, Colin?
I just want to pick you guys' brains about how we're being consistently out-coached on the offensive side of the ball. Overall, we're burning timeouts on second and two. We haven't seen a second and two. What is there to talk about? Maybe that's what we're talking about is, oh my God, we did actually did something on first down. But I think Big Cat's point about Montgomery picking up the blitzes and all that is very well done. So congrats to Big Cat on that. But you have to develop the run. You can't. It's unbelievable that we're sitting here with this defense and we're not giving them a rest on the sidelines. You have to run the ball, own the time of possession, know who you are. He's not a genius. He's grasping and he's guessing. And that's the G word I want to talk about. He's a guesser. He's a fraud, and we need to get him out.
Well, Colin, let me slow you down. Slow your roll there a little bit, buddy, because A, he ain't going anywhere. And I think that's probably a little too harsh.
I thought I was upset.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think I'm quite as upset as Colin is.
He's making some mistakes. There's no question about that. But I can tell you, and I get to spend a fair amount of time with him during the week in terms of our media time with the coaches. He's not guessing, okay? I mean, what he's doing isn't working. But this is a well-thought-of, well-prepared-for-the-task, not necessarily well prepared for the last few games, reigning NFL coach of the year. And so, you know, it doesn't change that quickly in six games. Now, you know, you and I are in lockstep on the problem with the running game, and I do agree that it's his fault, and I don't understand. I mean, I understand that there's a chance no matter what you do, it's going to take some time. Maybe you still don't have the right personnel. But I don't understand what he's trying. That's the part that's missing, Kat. I don't see a concerted effort to establish a ground game. And until you do, I mean, you know, yeah, Mitch missed some throws, and he's a problem, and we got to worry about him next, and you got to figure out if you're going to need another quarterback or not. But I don't see, and again, I haven't been able to see this tape yet. You got to go back and watch the tape before you know. Watching from television is too hard. I don't see a lot of open receivers out there. The play early in the game, when I think they were either up by a point or down by two, and it was third and 14, and Allen Robinson almost makes that miraculous catch.
Right.
They have Robinson not only bracketed high and low with a safety and a corner, but there's also a safety and a nickel, all four guys within 5 yards of Allen Robinson. That means that it is physically impossible for another eligible receiver not to be open somewhere, you know? And these are the things that's just kind of hard to get your arms around.
Yeah, and this goes back to, you know, whether it's play calling or whether it's a person executing. Mm-hmm. Because if you have four guys within 5 to 7 yards of Allen Robinson, like you said, there's got to be somebody else open. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's got to be that, whether it's the dump off, whether it's a short intermediate route that hopefully they can catch it and run for the first down, there are guys out there running open, and we're just not finding them.
Yeah, and I will say this. We got to take a break here. I don't know. What did Allen Robinson catch, 32, 33 passes tonight? I mean, obviously not, but, I mean, he caught a lot of passes.
Yeah.
There were three specifically where even on television you could tell could not have been clearer he was either the second or third option. So it's not, A, that he's the only guy that Mitch is looking to.
Right.
And it's not that Mitch, at least at times, is not going through his progressions. I'm guessing that second look is the safety valve and the security blanket with Robinson. But it's not, again, it's not quite that simple. So I'm going to continue to break it down for you guys. Anxious to get your calls, hear your thoughts. 312-644-6767. We're going to take a very quick break here at The Score. Back with more on Chicago's most listened to and favorite all sports radio station.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
I mean, that's an easy answer to tell you. When that's the case, so it's you know, at halftime, as bad as that was, it was 12-10. Mm-hmm. And so we go in and want to come out and play better in the third and fourth quarter, and you know, we get the ball to start the third quarter and go three and out, and when we got the ball, you know, after they scored. And so it just we got to regroup, and that's my job as a leader to make sure that we understand that, and we got to do everything we possibly can.
You're listening to Chicago Bears postgame coverage on 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
Welcome back to our Bears postgame here at 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. Yeah, we are out and about tonight. We actually had our pregame show, I should say our Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show featuring Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley and myself. You can visit Ameristar's new sportsbook in East Chicago. We had that show here at Connie's this morning, and we are at Connie's Pizza this evening. It's 2273 South Archer, just south of the Loop, right off of Clybourne. Great pizza, great Italian food, guys. 50-cent wings, specials on craft beers tonight. Come on out. We're going to be here for at least another hour, maybe hour and a half or so. And we're trying to break this all down. It is early. There are 10 games left to be played. It doesn't feel very good right now. It's hard to predict things getting much better, but there is still a ton of season left. So let's see what we can figure out with all of this. 312-644-6767 is our phone number. And next up, James, we've got Ryan, who is out in Naperville. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Can we just admit that Mitch is horrible and that Matt Nagy's a fraud?
No. And again, you're going to get your time. But Matt Nagy is not a fraud. He's a very hardworking football coach who is the reigning NFL Coach of the Year. And he's having a rough patch, and he's not doing a very good job. But we're not going to start calling names here. It's just he doesn't deserve that.
Accolades aside, Andy Reid was happy to get rid of him. The guy
If you want to continue this,
all right,
we're going to either talk about stuff that's real or we're going to say goodbye.
Okay,
Matter of fact, Andy Reid called him the best and most prepared assistant coach to be a head coach he'd ever had. So, again, you know, feel free to be upset, but let's not start with the fake news, if you will. I can't believe I said fake news, but I did. Go ahead. He's still there? Probably should be gone just as well. Let's see. Who's up next? Hey, guys, you can be angry. You got no problem with that. I'm pissed. I don't blame you. You know, but we're not going to call names, and we're not going to deal in stuff that just really doesn't have anything to do with the problem. Let's see. Adam is out in Monticello, it looks like. Adam, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Good.
All right. So I had one question for you. So three big problems I'm seeing is who's our biggest problem on offense? Is it the offensive line? Is it the quarterback? Or is it the running back position? My personal feeling is it's the offensive line. I've been watching the coach's game film, and I haven't seen Leno getting beat the left tackle position week after week over and over. And I think that's what really affects both the quarterback and running back, and it's a big part of the reason why we can't run the ball. So I just want to get your guys' thoughts and takes on that.
Thank you, Adam. You know, Kat, I'm going to be real quick and then give it to you. Tonight, the biggest problem with the offense was Matt Nagy. Again, I'm not going to let people call him names and come out here with silly stuff, right. But that doesn't mean we're going to defend a bad job. And I don't know. I mean, we can break down all the players, but I just didn't feel like they had a chance tonight. You may disagree. Go ahead.
No, but, I mean, I think it goes back to what we talked about earlier. When we talked about it's not just one position breaking down. It's not just the offensive line. It's not just your left tackle. It's not just an individual. It's all these guys breaking down at different points, making mistakes that need to be cleaned up. Once they clean up these mistakes, once you're as a line, as the five linemen, once you're able to get a hat on a hat and, you know, not block a wrong guy here or use bad technique there to let your guy beat you inside, it's the little things. You know, you always hear coaches talk about it's the little things. And with the Bears right now, I feel as though it's the little things. It's all these little things compiling into one thing and making it all look like crap right now.
So, James, you've been there. I mean, you guys went from worst in 2000 to first in 2001. We're actually the number one seed in the NFC. And so, obviously, a lot of things changed, got cleaned up. Dick Geron was the football coach at the time. I want to say, was Gary Croton the offensive coordinator on that team? Yeah. So how do you do that? I mean, how do you get these things cleaned up?
It's the concentration of the players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's all I can blame it on right now because, like as you said, you're given a play by a coach, and it's up to the players to execute that play. Unless they are piling too much on the players, you know, and I really just can't see that because they've talked about having to cut it back to help Mitch out a little bit. So if that's cutting it back to help Mitch out some, that should be helping everyone out. You know, that's one of the things that I always go back to when we play. Well, at one point in time with Bob Wiley, you know, we weren't running the ball well. So we went back and we cut a lot of stuff out. I want to say, I don't remember what game it was we went into, but we went into the game with like just three different runs. We had three runs out of maybe 15 different formations, which made it look like 45 plays. You know, so it's not always about the different assortment of plays. It's about being able to run the plays that you have well.
Bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Fan four packs are a fantastic way to enjoy Chicago Wolves hockey. Four tickets, four hot dogs, four sodas, one large popcorn, and one low price. To get yours, visit ChicagoWolves.com. We are winners. We are the Wolves. We're right here on the south side. I'm not sure how close you are to Connie's, James, but it is James on the south side's turn. How you doing, James? Oh, it looks like we punched up Don. James, hang on. I think I've got Don on the line. Don, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Hub? Got a question.
Good. You out in San Diego right now?
Yeah. Yeah, I am in San Diego, nice and warm.
Okay, go ahead. Cat's listening.
I've got a question, Big Cat. When the team goes to review the film this week and the offensive players see the way the effort that David Montgomery gives when trying to block a blitz and he completely gets blown out, what's said in the film room?
Well, that's going to be something more that a coach is going to get on him about. It's going to be about his technique. It's going to be about getting in that hole, taking on that linebacker, not getting your head down and allowing that guy to swim over you. It's about being stout. It's about having your base. It's about being able to get up into his chest and, you know, nail him at the point of attack. these are the conversations that coaches are going to have with him. Now, if you have a veteran running back in that meeting room that is, you know, experienced at blocking, he can give him a few pointers, but it's not going to be anything where you're going to go out and you're going to beat up on verbally on a rookie running back that is, you know, trying to fill his gap. It wasn't that he didn't just all out miss it. His technique was just poor, you know, and that's where we talk about the little things, you know. That's one of those things that as individuals they can clean up and they have to clean up in order to make plays run well.
Thank you for the call, Don. James, let me try this again. James is on the south side, and according to my screen, it is James's turn. I think I've got you this time. James, how you doing?
Yeah, how you doing, Hubby? Yeah.
Good, thanks
you know,
for
guys,
calling.
You know, the only person I would keep on the offensive line is Whitehair. Other than that, everybody else can go, man. I mean, Nagy's a good coach. I'm tired of people calling up talking about why we not run the ball. We not run the ball because Montgomery is not Saquon Barkley. Or Ezekiel. I mean, people acting like Montgomery is Saquon Barkley or Ezekiel Elliott or Todd Gurley. He's a third-round pick, a rookie running back. He is. I mean, I don't see what the big hype about this guy is. It to me, it's putting too much pressure on this kid. I mean, you know, he may be paying out to be a good running back, but people calling up like he an All-Pro NFL running back. He hasn't done anything in the NFL. Nothing. So I'm telling them, I just don't get why every Sunday is like, oh, why don't we get Montgomery? Why don't we get – he is not Saquon Barkley, okay? He is not. He's just a rookie third-round draft pick running back.
James, let me kind of respond, though. But stay, don't drop – oh, looks like James dropped. I'm sorry. I was trying not to do that. But part of the answer, James, is that, no, you're absolutely right. He's not those guys. But it's the Bears who put him in that position. The Bears had one of the three best running backs in the NFL over his 3 years in the league. Argue all you want, but his first 3 years, Jordan Howard had more rushing yards than anybody in the NFL but Ezekiel Elliott and Todd Gurley. The Bears traded him for a fifth-round pick to a team that runs the exact same offense they did, and they used all that pick and some extra collateral to draft David Montgomery. So that's why some other fans have got the arrow pointed at him. Now, you're right. I mean, you know, he's not those guys yet. You can't necessarily count on that. But it's not these fans who are putting the bullseye on David Montgomery. It's the Bears who did that with the move they made.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. Montgomery wants that bullseye on him. Mm-hmm. He wants to be the man. He wants to be that guy that's giving the ball 20, 25 times a game. Because in his mind, excuse me, I guarantee you that he believes he can be a Saquon Barkley. He can be, you know, he can be one of those guys that is a workhorse for his team. And when you see how he ran in college, the way he ran, you know that, you hope that it interprets well to the NFL. So you're hoping that it's just a matter of time before he starts looking like the back that everybody is expecting him to look like.
And James, I do want to say this, and I know sometimes this doesn't matter. You know, he's getting paid a lot of money to be a football player. He is also one of the more special young men to come through that, to come through Hallis Hall in a long time. If ever there was a kid who works at it, who is committed to it, who is grinding 23 hours a day, incredible character, leadership, attitude, David Montgomery, I still think there's a chance, is going to be a very important part of the Chicago Bears. It's not happening yet. And one of the reasons it's not happening, I don't know if you heard the start, but again, they came out in the first half and ran the ball five times. They gave it to Montgomery once while throwing 23 passes. In that offense, Ezekiel Elliott, Saquon Barkley, Todd Gurley, they're not going to get it done either like that.
They're bell cows in their offense. They are the thing that gets their offenses going. When you're able to run the ball, it opens up so many other things. But then you'll also hear people that'll talk about it on the other aspect. If you can throw the ball, you know, you can open things up for the run game. The Bears just have to figure out what and how they want to do it. You know, I go back and I think about some of the conversations that we've had over the past couple of weeks about how they're not built to run the ball. Well, for what they want to do, they just have to come up with the right runs for the things that they want to do. You know, when you look at like the greatest show on turf, St. Louis, they weren't a big, you know, bruising tight end with a fullback back there and just smash mouth football. They were able to spread you out. They had a back that they could run in between the tackles. He could get outside. He could catch the ball. He was a triple threat. You know, we have guys like that, but we're not using them in the proper way.
312-644-6767. There's two lines open now. Sam, Terrell, Jack, Doug, you guys are next in that order. Everybody else, hang on. We're going to get to everybody. We've got to take a quick break here, but we got plenty of postgame coming for you from Connie's on the south side on your radio dial at 670 The Score. We are back in just a moment.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Here's the kickoff. Cordell Patterson settling in the end zone, about a yard deep. Angles left, gets to the 10, opening at the 20, hits the gas at the 25, breaks a tackle, he's in the clear, running right to the 40, being chased from behind, steps out of a tackle, 20, 10, 5, touchdown Bears, 101 yards, no flags, 9-6, lightning strikes, Cordarrelle Patterson.
You're listening to Chicago Bears postgame coverage on 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
Welcome back to the program. It is so great to have you all with us. I am Hub Arkish along with James Big Cat Williams. And we are out here at Connie's tonight on the near south side. The beer is cold. The wings are only 50 cents, and they are great. And the pizza and Italian food is outstanding. We're going to be here for another hour or so. Come on out. Come on out anytime all week long. It is an absolutely great spot. And we really appreciate everybody at Connie's for having us out tonight. 312-644-6767 is our phone number. We're going to get right back to it. Kat, next up is Sam, who is out on the road. How you doing, Sam?
We're doing, guys.
Hanging in, bud.
So, I got a couple things I'd like for you guys to address. First, I think watching the game today, the defensive line, looking back at Oakland, too, we just look like we're getting bodied up front. What would you guys think about that? Like, there's absolutely zero pass rush. Gave Teddy all day to throw, and, I mean, really, if you're giving him that long, a secondary can only cover for so long. Like, without Akeem Hicks, what do we do to going forward to, like, improve that?
Well, Sam, Akeem Hicks is one of the three or four best interior tackles in football, and it's a huge loss. And, you know, we saw just how huge in London and again today. At that same time, Kat, injuries happen. You know, next man up is a cliche, but it's also real. There is still some real talent in Eddie Goldman and Roy Robertson-Harris. It was Bilal Nichols' first game back. Didn't see a whole lot one way or the other there as he was trying to play with the broken hand. But there is, unfortunately, limited depth behind them because when Akeem is healthy, the depth is Roy Robertson-Harris. And,
right.
You know, Nick Williams didn't play badly again today, but was nowhere near the force he was in the Minnesota game. And you know, that's the puzzle to me is Akeem sits out Minnesota, and that was the best defensive line game of the year, and yet now he's out hurt. Now, we should add, New Orleans has one of the best offensive lines in football. Minnesota does not, so that is part of it. But it was an issue today. Latavius Murray is just a guy. He proved that last year in two games with the Vikings where he didn't hurt the Bears at all, and yet today he looked like a Pro Bowler.
Yeah. I'm stuck. I mean, I really am. I really am. I'm a little stuck. I'm a little flustered, a little frustrated. But, you know, you look at this team right now, and since we're on the defense, you know, Sam talks about the lack of pass rush. But what it looked like they were trying to do at times was they were only rushing three.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to try and get Bridgewater to make a mistake. And, excuse me, unfortunately, he didn't make those mistakes. He did not you know, put the ball in harm's way. He did not put the ball in spots where the Bears were able to pick it off. And, you know, if that's what you saw on film, if as a defense, if that's what, you know, the game plan was, then, yeah, you're going to have trouble getting there when you have 5-on-3. I don't care what offensive line you're working up against.
Well, and you know what's so interesting about that, James, is as we looked at, and listen, God bless Vic Fangio. He wanted to be a head coach. He got the job in Denver. Needed to be replaced. I thought Chuck Pagano was absolutely the best option. I still believe that. And as we break down their careers, they kind of grew up together on that Baltimore staff, and they share a lot of the same philosophies. Right. But the one thing that we knew that Chuck liked to do a little bit more than Vic was to blitz, to play some pressure, to come up and press. And we expected to see more of that. And if ever there was a game where, you know, Alvin Kamara is out, Michael Thomas is the only real threat, and even he's not a threat to beat you deep. I thought he'd be coming at him all day long today, and that certainly would help that defensive front. And they, I'm trying to remember if they, I think they blitzed, I'm trying to remember two. I think,
yeah. There weren't a lot of blitzes for some odd reason, but, you know, they have to put themselves in situations to make plays. And like you said, coming into this game, you knew the starting running back in Kamara was out. You knew the starting tight end was out. So you were going to have guys out there making adjustments on blitz, not just trying to pick up blitzers, not just trying to pick up Smith or Trevathan or, you know, whoever they bring on a blitz, but now you've got them trying to cover those short intermediate routes that Bridgewater is trying to get it out because he is being blitzed. And all it takes is, you know, one cut the wrong way from a backup player and it's an interception. So, I don't know. I don't understand why they went. I mean, I understand why they went that route. It just doesn't seem like it was the right route to go.
Yeah, I mean, and certainly in 2020 hindsight, we know right. that it wasn't. But right. one of our previous callers mentioned it. Bill Belichick's the GOAT. Nobody else is in his league. But if you want to talk about the second best coach in the NFL, it probably comes down to Sean Payton or Andy Reid at this point, I would think. Yeah. And you had to know Sean Payton was going to have a plan for it. You know, and what about a halftime adjustment? Even though it was only a 2-point game, seeing that they were running on you and you weren't getting home with the rush,
right.
why not try something else?
Yeah, you're right. And you know, I always go back to, you know, how do players talk about the coaches they've played for? And I remember when, you know, Olin got back from being in New Orleans, mm-hmm. and you know, all he could do. You know, all he had was good things to say about Peyton. Just the way he ran things, how organized they were, the time he put into it, the way he was with his players. And, you know, as a former player, you're like, damn, I would have loved to play for that guy.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that with Olin this morning. Not only did he rave about Sean Payton, but Pete Carmichael and Mike Nolan's a position coach on that team, and he didn't play for Dennis Allen, but a highly respected defensive coordinator. It is an outstanding coaching staff, and you saw an exceptionally well-coached team today. Let's get at least one more in before another short break here. Terrell is down in Memphis. Terrell dialed us up. How you doing tonight, Terrell?
I'm all right. I want to give Allen Robinson big ups on that juke move with that rookie over there for the touchdown. But I just want to know, is it like a in-game decision-making thing, or is it the coaching or the game plan? Because it seemed like even though it was 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4, it's like we were going away from picking up the first down instead of just trying to matriculate the ball down the field to give the defense a rest. The defense is going to keep getting blasted if we don't do, you know, we don't give them some rest. And I just wanted to know what you guys thought about that.
You know, Terrell, they did it at least 3 or 4 times while the game was still in doubt, 9 points or less. The first time was on a 3rd and 2 in which Anthony Miller had 2 full steps. He was doubled, and he had 2 full steps. He got behind the safety and the corner. And Mitch missed him, you know. And I don't know, and we'll never know, if he was the primary on that, if that was actually the call. But then we did see them do the same thing. I mean, I turned to, was it you or Patrick, Kat? I turned at one point and said there should be a law against going empty on third and one because you're giving away. Right. You know you're going to throw the football, right. You know?
Yeah.
And so, Terrell, I think it's a great point, and I agree with you. And, James, I don't have a good answer for him.
I don't mind. Listen, with Mitch's athletic ability, if you're going to go empty, spread them out, mm-hmm. and run a quarterback sneak, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
If that's what you're going to do.
If that's what you're going to do. But I see no other reason to be in third and one other than you don't trust your run game than to be that spread out with nobody in the backfield. I mean, third and one in that position is you're under center. You're giving off the threat of quarterback sneak. You're giving up the threat of dives to the A gaps, and our guys are better than your guys, and we're just going to blow you off the ball.
All right, guys, we've got to take another very quick break here at 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. We are out and about tonight at Connie's here on the south side. We got a great crowd in here. Everybody's enjoying the specials on craft beers, the 50-cent wings. If you can't make it out tonight, get out during the week. The food is outstanding, and they are incredibly gracious hosts. We're going to take this quick break, then back with more of our Bears postgame right here on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.